The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. The only this time. 4, 3, 2, 1. It's a goal. Right on the Tigers. Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion. Just down the bars.
Oh, she is. Had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
Did you know I've been watching a lot of old football games, Andy?
Yep.
I won't be watching that Thursday night again. Once was just enough.
Well, I had to watch it twice. Obviously, once to enjoy it in the pub, and secondly, to properly study it for the podcast. And, look, it is what it is. I don't think it... Second time round, it wasn't quite as bad as I remember it the first time. Like, there is something especially frustrating about not... neither score side scoring a goal in the last quarter, and us. Yeah. So we had two quarters where we didn't score a goal. So that's pretty frustrating football. But look, it was hard fought, and it wasn't quite as bad as spectacles maybe people made out it on. It was just like there were shots. There were shots in goal in the last. There were realistic shots. They just none were converted. And it was interesting, sort of, you know, the question was it because because of the break? And, that's what, Dimmer said in the press conference afterwards. It was the break, it was the lack of continuity, and it was the due. Well, it sort of turned out that most of the other games, have been high, well, all the other games have been higher scoring by a reasonable amount. And look, the due was a thing, that all the players have commented on it since. But I think there was a little bit that Collingwood just had a really good defensive game plan for us, and
they did. And look, we really got on top of them defensively as well. Like there
yes,
were periods in the third and fourth quarter where it felt like it was impossible for them to get inside 50. So because they were flooding a lot of numbers back, so we'd have Grimes or Hooley free out the back, and then, you know, transition the ball back pretty easily. It was, yeah, it was a frustrating game.
It was, and look, not every game this weekend, everyone, it just did feel like it lacked a third act. Now, not every game has felt like that it's been too short, but it was just, I just think it, like, just sometimes it just, that game was what it was. It was a strange game. It was an outlier. It played to all the things that the rule changes might have created, and also, you know, Collingwood have this expensive, well-coached team, and they had a lot of time to come up with a game plan for us.
Yeah, and look, they're a really mature team as well, and they've frankly got more talent in their back line than their forward line, and yeah, we saw it. I feel both ways about the shortened game. Look, I understood it at the time as a response to, well, what if we have to play more games in a shorter amount of time and the risk of players being undercooked and getting injured? And I think that was fine, but can we just go back to normal after a month? Yeah, as you said, some games this round, like that Geelong Hawthorn game Friday night,
the showdown,
we didn't. Yeah,
no one was hoping that showdown would go for longer, or maybe Port fans would, but
no, there was no the story of the game had plenty of time to play itself out. Thursday night didn't feel that way, and I wondered if particularly. Because after the first quarter, our numbers of sprint efforts really started to get on top, and yeah, I do. It felt like we had a bit more more to give than they did.
Yeah, there's smarter football minds than me were speculating whether the shorter quarters affected our grind game. So our ability to grind teams down, and you know, we did seem to have ascendancy in the last quarter. We wound up with, I think, 10 more inside 50s in the game. So probably think that on average that would normally translate to a winning team or through that winning lead, but they were sagging back. Just to the point of the game being too short, like, there were a lot of players who didn't do much on both teams. Like, I'm just counting. There was there was about 10, 12 players who had less than 10 possessions. On both sides. And, you know, only one of them was a ruckman, Soldo. But yeah, there were a lot of guys who, and, you know, we had Stack with 4, Rioli with 6, Ringwalt with, Jack with 6. Was 6, Pickett was 7, they had Jamie Elliott and Josh Thomas, Will Hoskin-Elliott, like all these guys, Brody Marchek, Tyler Brown, you know, not all these guys are necessarily, I mean, they're not high possession, they're not Taylor Adams, but that, you know, there was a lot of guys who didn't actually get involved in the footy much because...
Most of them are forwards, interestingly.
Yeah, good point. But also it felt like, you know, the sort of, maybe these guys also get into the game a bit when, you know, when it opens up, and definitely the time in the game where people are tired and the congestion breaks has definitely reduced. So it did have a different feel. And also the way we were playing is, and it was very interesting. It was something that you might recall that I was quite keen for us to try last year. It was just to play Soldo as the sole ruck. We talked pre-season that the shortening of the quarters, it could lead to playing a single ruck, but on the flip side is, if you play a single ruck, like, one reason I was always nervous about playing two rucks is what happens if we have a midfield injury, then you're stuffed in the rotations. It almost felt like we had too many runners this game.
I had that thought about Merlin Pickett, was just under 60% game time. He's normally sort of the second half of the quarter midfielder, and yeah, it seemed like we had less need for him. And because this is a topic we've talked about before, I had a look at how much time Soldo was having on the ground, and It was quite a bit. It was about 20% more than usual, even like just in terms of sheer minutes on the ground. So I thought it was a pretty good effort from him, because other than the occasional moment where Grundy bossed him around, I thought, if anything, Soldo was the one who was wearing him down physically. And he's had 9 tackles, and Grundy was looking pretty sore in the second half of the game. So, the mixture of Jack and Lynch as backup rucks looked okay, I thought.
Yeah, I think, I 100% agree with that. If you watched, so the thing about Grundy is he's so skillful, so that, you know, they got 2 shots directly from beautiful Grundy taps in the first quarter, one of which led to a goal, one of which probably should have led to a goal. And, you know, he's just got such a skillful guy. Like, the frustration of him not contesting a ruck contest and grabbing Soldo's tap and thumping it 60 metres in the forward line. I mean, there aren't too many ruckmen who can do that. But if you want, so, the thing, like, Grundy wasn't great, but he just makes you pay. He's so skillful, he makes you pay. But if you watch late, Soldo was tapping it, he was everywhere, and he actually, at one point, he was rucking against Grundy, and he was so confident he was going to beat him, he grabbed the ball out of the ruck and kicked it forward. When you do that, that's a sign that you're really, your confidence is right up.
You're feeling yourself.
Yeah. He had him the ruck before. It was definitely a confidence thing. Like, he was growing into that, and the longer that game was going. Now, Brody Grundy, you might remember, seemed to have a bit of a knock. So, let's see how he goes in a few more weeks. And, I'm currently having, a bit of a debate with someone who claims to be a Richmond supporter that says that who's first ruck would you swap for Ivan Soldo? So right now, I think we've got better Ruckman than Carlton. So watch this space as we go through the season. I mean, clearly, Soldo is not as good as Melbourne and Collingwood's ruck. Probably.
Max Gawn is probably number one on my list of players who I'd love to play for Richmond. And he's a childhood Richmond supporter.
Yeah, the thing that I think overall, you know, Soldo, as you pointed, Soldo had the 9 tackles. It was an eminently impressive workmanlike performance. And you know, he no way did he let us down. There's two things I'd say though. Sorry to talk too much about ruck. I know it's someone like me. Collingwood had a second ruck who got a lot of touches.
Yes, that's true. Some of them were forward.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Is like, wouldn't that be valuable if we had that? That's all I'm saying. It's not a criticism of this. This is the thing.
Isn't that the Callum Coleman Jones
exactly
dream?
Exactly
that he's good enough at marking for both. And I honestly wonder, given they're playing Noah Bolter as a key back these days, you'd think if either Jack or Lynch were out, we'd think about playing either Chole or Callum Coleman Jones as a ruck forward.
Yeah, exactly. Like if we could get what Callum Brown have, which was the 13 touches, he didn't kick a goal, but you know, rucked a bit. Oh, sorry, Darcy Cameron. If we get the Darcy Cameron game, that would be great. Because, you know, because there were so few goals kicked, you didn't notice it, but we don't want to see Tom Lynch in the centre square taking a big knee from Grundy.
No, certainly not against Grundy. It sort of, it depends who if the other team are playing a backup ruck, like, you know, GWS had Tomlinson or Finlayson as backups in the grand final, and yeah, that'd be just fine. Neither of them scare me.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was interesting, but I think we'll see how it goes over the coming weeks. But I was quite pleased. Before the game, I quite liked the fact that they're prepared to innovate.
Yeah. Well, look, Segler this week's a definite challenge. He's no mug.
Yeah.
Certainly no Grundy, but he's a decent run.
So, Nick, you make the comment that Steel Sidebottom seems to play best against us. And he played really well against us again.
I looked it up last year, and his career average against us is higher than it is against almost any other team. Felt like he had his own football.
Yeah, well, I mean, 27 on a shorter game was very respectable, and kicked a beautiful left foot goal in a game where obviously everything was all points mattered. So yeah, he hurt us again. So you got that one right. Good call. And once again, look, the story of the game was their possession game on the outside. We killed them on the tackles. They killed us on the disposals. This time though, I think the flow of the game. It's the first time we've actually played a really close game. Well, sorry, we did a couple of years ago, but it's one of the, you know, where our game plan met their game plan, and they sort of battled each other to a draw.
I did wonder if we missed having Brandon Ellis as a matchup on Ellis or Caddy in that defensive wing role on Tom Phillips.
Yeah, might be. Well, I think we did miss Caddy. Caddy would have liked that game. You know, a lot of rolling contests require good footy brains to find space.
Chance to get into somebody's face.
Yeah, absolutely. And without the crowd noise, his trash talking and be able to carry longer, it can insult people from much further away. Nick,
What did you think of the background crowd noise?
I didn't notice it as much against us. I think the Channel 7 producer was a bit better, but I felt like I watched the game the next day. On Saturday, and I felt like the Brisbane game, the background crowd noise sounded like the crowd in an indoor pool school day. Like it was just this like annoying buzz.
Yeah.
Like I'd much rather hear the.
I thought. Yeah, I had the same reaction. I thought Channel 7 did a pretty good job. But I think some of the Fox games haven't got as much care and attention to detail.
I still hate it. Like, I'd much rather hear the thump of the players hitting each other on the ball and, you know, them calling to each other. But a surprising amount of people seem to like it, so there you go.
I don't mind the white noise just when nothing's happening. But yeah.
Okay. Now, Nick, we do have to... I think we've gone long enough. We have to... He's been battling a calf. He's 400 years old, and he comes in, and he gets, what, 9 intercepts, and he's our leading disposal getter with 26.
Yeah.
Bashir Hooley.
He was pretty great.
Yeah, incredible. Like, can anything stop this man?
Well, hopefully not. Like, you know, I've been fretting about... you know, he's pretty old, and he's having repeat soft tissue injuries in a part of the body, you know, where, yeah, older players are vulnerable to that type of injury. But yeah, then he gets out on the pitch and he's really good. I'm so fond of having him out there. And yeah, look, honestly, if we have to nurse him through the odd game, I'm fine with that, because yeah, whatever it takes to get him through to September, that's fine by me.
And Nick, a player that I got really, I was really surprised when, I think he was our second highest rated player in AFL rankings, but I was really surprised when I looked at the stat sheet how little he got the ball, because I thought he was so influential in the game, and that was Bolton. You know, we've talked about who's going to replace Sheds. Well, I think we've replaced him, because his creative hand pass are extremely Shed alike.
Yeah. Yeah, good. I mean, Daniel Rioli had a shocker. Bolton felt... I think Bolton was second in score assists. He was a score involvement to Lynch, and, you know, Lynch's involvement was often at the end of the process. But yeah, no, I'm extremely pro Bolton. And I think, well, speaking of the small forwards, and probably we should have mentioned it before, but somehow the game suited Jack Higgins. I'm not quite sure how, but yeah, it was really nice to have him back.
Yeah, so, by the way, on the positive side, I was a bit worried about... I can say it now, because I wasn't going to say it publicly before, but I was really... I was, you know, and I know that it's completely different, but with Pollack, you know, he could sort of get back and he could sort of look the same, but he was always just a half step slow when he came back after his bad brain injury.
Yeah.
And I did think Higo looked a bit like that on at Shepparton. And then I didn't think he looked like that. Like, when he first took that contested mark early on, I went, whoa, that's legitimately good. And I thought throughout he looked as quick as he always was. I was it looked like the Higgins of old. And you know, the goal was what it was, but, the umpiring decision was, but, I thought that kick around the corner, on a left foot snap, I thought that was a really good kick.
It was pretty tidy, yeah.
So it was not actually...
He had a couple of almost moments as well. Like, you know, there's a world in which he kicks 3 goals and is the hero of the game. So, yeah, it was a very respectable effort.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's quite the scar on his head.
The AFL ratings hated his game, and I really couldn't work it out why.
I saw that. No, that made no... Sometimes the ratings seem to... He had the odd turnover.
Yeah, I think that was it. He had one or two turnovers that, and you know, in a low possession game, that can kill you. You get a bad negative mark on a few things. But yeah, I thought he was. I was very encouraged, and we're sort of, he's back to where he was now. Where he was wasn't a guaranteed best 22 player, but it's just so nice to have him at that point again, which is a sign of recovery. So yeah,
Definite positive, because I thought the forward line was non-functional. The biggest issue in the first quarter seemed to be that... running into space at all, and yeah, nothing was working, so... Yeah. was definitely better in the second quarter once we got things going, and particularly, you know, Lynch, you know, Lynch being the tip of the spear, but I thought the whole forward line structure was better then.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Lynch does forgive an awful lot of sins. I did think there was a little bit of, you know, Dusty was just had a game where he was human.
He looked in good shape though.
He looked in good shape, and like I'm not here to criticise, but you know it's sort of hard because Dusty's so amazing in finals that you know the last few standards
are impossibly high.
Yeah.
Before we get off Lynch, can we both admonish ourselves and perhaps re-record the first half of the podcast that neither of us mentioned how good Ivan Soldo's tap to Lynch was in the second quarter for that goal?
Oh, no, I know. It was amazing. Yeah.
Not mentioned by the commentators, but completely deliberate. And yeah, great.
Well, and actually, if you look late in the game, Soldo often does that. He does. He did a big... Mm. He sort of... He's decided his role is to knock the ball on to people who are more skillful. But yes, very well noted, and lovely bit of skill. And just Lynch in general, he's very good at football.
Yeah. It was, for Jack, it was one of those, you know, Jack had Darcy Moore playing on him, and Darcy Moore did nothing to lessen the rumours around him being pretty highly sought after. Player out of contract at the end of this year, but yeah, it was a tough matchup for Jack.
Yeah. So there's sort of two takes on that. The I was a bit worried that it might be a bit of a sign of bit of aging going on, but someone else I know who's a big fan sort of poo-pooed that and said it was just a bad game. So we'll just wait and see. It wasn't an all-time classic Jack game, and he'll be ruining that the shot that didn't even register a score.
Yeah, I know. And it was one of the games where, you know, Lynch had the whole team score to halftime. Like,
yeah,
you know, when a guy's in that sort of form, you can't help but feed him. You know, as well as being enormous and beautiful, leading out from full forward.
And Nick, it's time I think we recognised old man Cochin's 15 contested possessions. A very old school chimp performance.
Yep, he looked really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Making heaps of contests, crashing in hard. Yeah, it was really good. And given Dion, you're saying you're so used to Dusty playing well in finals. So, you know, Dion Presti was pretty good for the whole of last year. And so, you know, when he was a bit down in the first half, it was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, I mean, he worked his way into it. But, yeah, it was not. It was certainly not a vintage. Both him and Lambert, I think, they do seem to struggle a bit against Collingwood at times. So, just on the other end... You know, we sort of mentioned already that Stack was a bit disappointing, and you mentioned Rioli, but I'm not inspired by Graham's inability to extend his hands. He's a bit fumbly at the moment, and there was an awful contest in the first where you could see he had absolutely no faith in his ability to extend his arms above his head. So yeah, coaching staff love him, and I can understand why, but on his 13 effective disposals, do you know how many metres gained he had, Nick?
About 100?
25.
Ooh, that's not good.
No. So, yeah, he's playing some pretty conservative footy. He's at Ruckman level.
Yeah, and Jack Ross is playing pretty... We'll talk about the reserve scratch match, but, Jack Ross is no mug.
Yeah. Now, look, overall, now, is there anyone else you want to talk about individually?
Look, not really. I thought the defence was back to its usual self. You know, that Plossy, Grimes, Asprey, all absolute. You know, nothing to see here. But It was good to have them back.
It was good. Look, I don't think the game was quite as bad as people said. It was okay.
It was okay.
And I'm definitely
they're a good team, and particularly they're a good defensive team.
And that was an 8-point game, so a draw is actually much better than a loss.
Mm.
And you know, sometimes that's not the case, but in this case I believe it was. So you know, I'm okay with it. It is what it is. And you know, probably, it's not to be underestimated. A lot of us know Collingwood supporters and probably had side bets on which are drawn rather than lost. So, you know, it is what it is. So the VFL, played a scratch match as well.
Well, actually, just finishing off the senior football, I was struck, like, I thought the Black Lives Matter thing they did at the start of the game, was well done. But actually the thing that struck me as the most, like, you know, Gil McLaughlin's glib thing saying about, oh, no, smaller list sizes won't affect the number of Indigenous players. Well, Collingwood didn't have any Indigenous players in their team last night. And, yeah, no, it does. Look, smaller list sizes hurts all the players who don't have the really traditional pathway. And, you know, for us, you know, it's guys like Nathan Broad, Liam Baker, Marlon Pickett, Sydney Stack, Derek Eglamazy, Smith.
Soldo.
All these guys, Ivan Soldo, yeah, Jake King in his day, who, you know, wasn't it? Kane Lambert was a third-round rookie pick, like, as a 23-year-old, from the State League. Like, all those non-traditional pathway guys are in trouble. And, you know, for young men who, for whatever reason, have trouble with that, you know, with what it's a really structured pathway, and we know that some people come from a background where that's hard for them. And, you know, it is going to have an impact, and I think it deserves a lot more consideration than Gil just wanting to slash the bottom line.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, so what do you? Because if you reduce the list, you've got to be far more prepared to play everyone on your list in that year.
Yeah.
You know, at the moment there's both depth and development going on and multiple. So you're probably going, if you slash the list, what you're going to have is more. I think you're going to have more guys like, you know, maybe even someone like Jake Arts is more likely to stay on a list, but because they're, you know, you can play them, and you're less likely to take a punt on a high risk reward player, because we didn't have to play Sydney Stack. We did because the upside came in, but it was a pick, knowing that if he decided in round three that he didn't like Melbourne and was going home, that we would survive. Whereas if you've got a shorter list, you can't take the, you're less likely to.
No, those high risk program.
And you're probably more likely to.
Players you can't take.
You're probably more likely to keep around a 24-year-old who came from Oakley, just because you know he'll be able to play. He'll definitely turn up every week, and he'll be able to play for the three games a year you need him when you have a run of injuries. I completely agree. You know, the rule of unintended consequences as well, to the AFL. Change the game length by 20. Like, other sports just don't do that. Like, it was a huge shift. It was a 20% time change, to the length of a game, and a game that's an endurance sport. Like, it's just, like, imagine if they just cut an NFL game by 2 minutes. NFL quarters by 2 minutes. It'd be a huge outcry. But they just sort of glibly do it, and you know, Eddie says, who's on the committee but deciding these rules, oh, well, people's attention spans are changing, so we need to think about having shorter games. Like, well, actually, the most successful single league in the world has games almost exactly as long as traditional AFL games, and that's the NFL. Like, it's just, they do 2 seconds worth of research, they turn up to the Super Bowl, but they don't actually think about, well, what's really going on here? Why do people watch? What's their attention span? And, you know, just because the 2020 is successful in India doesn't mean it's a successful template for all sports. sport going forward. Well, the Big Bash League, well, that was successful for 5 minutes, but it's clearly not. That, there's no proof that that's the sustainable sporting measure. Okay, that was a long rant, Nick. The VFL.
It was a long rant. Look, and they have said that they're going back to it next year, but I really don't feel like there's an integrity problem with going back this year, but we'll see how we go. I really don't like the this having thrown together scratch matches. Like, I understand why they're doing it, but I really hope that the takeaway from this season is that this is not a sustainable model of, you know, ringing other clubs around on the phone to see if they've got enough players to do a scratch match. And even this game, they're not keeping proper score, they're not keeping proper stats that they publish compared to the normal VFL, much to my horror. You know, they finished up with 16 a side by the end of the game, so there's no rotations. It's just a bit of a mess, and that's only going to get worse as we get into the season and they have a few injuries. So I hope that the lesson is of the benefit of the traditional second-tier competition. But all of that aside, you know, all the media reporting, lots of love for Noah Bolter and Nank, which is a pretty good place to start, I think.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Well, you'd sort of expect Nank to kill it at the level below because, you know, he's a two-time premiership ruckman. He's probably above that level.
Yeah, developing Collingwood ruckman. Yeah.
Bolter did was kicking the ass of Mason Cox. So, you know, it's, again, you...
Richmond nemesis.
Yes, but you probably hope that that would happen.
Well, he got last time we saw him in Angareta, he was getting stitched up by Brody Marichek. So I was happy with that. I think playing on a bigger player suits him more than somebody who's a bit shifty at this stage. Because I think reading the play is still a thing for him, but. Yeah, a game where he can sort of run and jump at the ball, I think really does suit him well.
Yeah, but look, you got to, and still he beat a guy who's a good listed AFL player, so exciting for him. Because he didn't have a great season, but like the one I'm most excited about is Thompson Dow, who is quite a standout.
There is some love for him.
Yeah, and followed on his work from Shepparton. Absolute athlete when it comes to his running.
Wangaratta.
No, Shep.
Was it?
No, it was the Wang. It was the Wang. You're right. Yeah. And I apologise. I might have said Shepparton before as well. He's an absolute athlete when it comes to running ability. He's tough for a kid not carrying that much weight and won a lot of footy.
No.
How can you not love every bit of that?
Yeah, you were saying about next Shane Edwards. Like, I had a little bit of the Shane Edwards when we saw those flashes where he just had a really fast sidestep in a pack. I thought, look at that. And covering ground with Sheds does, not super fast the way that Sheds is, and not a big body as Sheds was when he came into the league. It's not a bad place to start.
No, absolutely. I reckon, what do you reckon? He's the closest to getting a senior game?
Oh, you'd have to think Jack Ross, just in terms of...
Yeah.
Like, if we needed a midfield. Like, I think... Well, and Patrick Nash was in the 25, so you'd think he's not all that far away either. Camden McIntosh as well, like, who was held out as the 23rd man. Depth is pretty good.
Yeah, it is actually, and you know, it almost felt like we had one. As I said, like it almost felt like we had one player too many on the bench too. But yeah, I think Graham and Stack might be on borrowed time if they don't play well.
Well, Caddy's calf was meant to be pretty minor, so if he comes back, yeah, you think.
Yeah, it's interesting. I always thought calves was a worse injury than that, but Hooley is sort of, you know, he's been held out till quite recently, proved his fitness somewhat Monday, and then was brilliant on Thursday. Speaking of, Hawthorn.
So they're a better team than they looked on Friday night. And they finished the team. They finished last year pretty well. No, I do wonder. The last 3 years, we've had the wood on them a bit, and I think we're almost at risk of underrating them slightly. But then they did look pretty terrible. And their forward line, unconvincing. I thought the back line was more impressive, and I did worry about James Sicily in the Jeremy Howe role. And they're a good defensive team, normally. And they do, their midfield is slow, with the exception of Chad Wingard, but they do win their own footy. So, I'm sure by Wednesday night, I'll be pretty worried about them.
Yeah, they had a really interesting... They're a very schizophrenic team, really, aren't they? They beat the Dockers, that was in Tasmania. They beat the Dockers in Tasmania. They beat the Cats at the MCG to finish last year. They beat the Giants. They beat the Eagles away. That's pretty damn impressive. And then they lost to the Kangaroos. Their record's actually hard to appreciate overall. So, yeah, I mean, obviously I'm very confident and arrogant because we've handled them so easily, but you make a good point that perhaps we underestimate them because they've underachieved against us.
Yeah, and they can win first footy through Mitchell, Warple and those guys, and their forward line has to look like, particularly Gunston and Bruce, you know, are still genuinely good forwards. Tim O'Brien and Jeremy Patton don't scare me very much at all, I have to say. Somebody making a rather harsh comparison of how Patton looked to another former first overall draft pick in Richard Lowndes, which is a little harsh.
Yeah, I think Dave... I thought Dave Asprey looked in superb fiddle on Thursday night. I think he'll...
Working on the farm's been good for him. Yeah. Bruce does cause us a bit of trouble sometimes. So, yeah, he'll be one shot. And Chad Wingard, for all... You know, he can be a bit mercurial as half-forwards often are. But, yeah, he's a genuinely talented player.
Yeah, and actually Mitchell and Wingard were their two top performers. And Tom Scully, with his amazing recovering legs, is barely adequate as a midfielder. But
yeah, but we have, since that dreadful game in 2016, we have had their measure. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, but you'd think Clarkson will have them up to bounce back. You'd think so, because they can't have too many games like that and think of themselves as a genuine contender.
Yeah, so, and they are a G10, they'll be ready to go. And they played Brisbane well there in round one. I'm looking forward
to Geelong play Geelong very well.
Yes,
I really hope we don't play down there ever again.
No, absolutely not.
But yeah, so look, we're 16-point favourites. You know, which is comfortable without being complacent. But yeah, I'll be stressed by game time as usual.
Yeah, absolutely, me too. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
have a bit more scoring.
Yeah, more scoring. But it's good to have footy back.
It is good to have footy back.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time. This time, 4-3-2-1.
shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
It was an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. Sweet it is, eh? Pickett lines up.
There are alarm bells going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy.
Started with him.
Yep. Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. There's the play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. That champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals, you can make the case for being best on ground.
We never weep until the pile of sirens gone. Like the tiger of old, the strong and we're bold, for we're from Tiger. Yellow and black, we're from Tigerland.
And I think they were a better team last year than they are now.